Appreciate your prayers this morning. Thankful again for the wonderful plan of salvation, the complete plan of salvation. So I have some thoughts to share with you, and I need the Lord's help as always. So I want to start with a question, and I'll even ask for a show of hands in response to this. How many of us in here have ever ran out of water? Anyone raise your hands? So there's different ways that can happen. Maybe you're on a trip, or you're hiking or something. Maybe you ran out of water and there's nothing else around. Or maybe it's even you're at home. If you have a well, that's all I've ever known. Grew up, we had a well at the house, and then we first got married, the place we bought and fixed up, put in a well, and then the place we're at now has a well. And so when you lose power, you don't have any water. Now, if you live in the city or there's some places have rural water, and you still have water, even though you may lose power. But here's a question. When you run out of water, is that a big deal? Yeah, it is a big deal, isn't it? Because, I mean, obviously we drink water. I mean, that's a huge part of it. But there's other things that water's used for. What are some other things water's used for? Cooking, yes. Cleaning, all different types of cleaning. That's right. Anything else? Crops, yes. Watering the crops, the garden, flowers, all those things. Cattle, yes. And drinking, yes. That's very important, very critical. So we could say it this way. And here's another one. What about putting out fires? You know, it's a safety thing. You need some water to help. We hope that doesn't happen, but to have it available is sure a good feeling. So obviously, if you run out of water, whatever's happening there, it can become an emergency. It's very critical. You need water for a lot of things, as we mentioned. And it's not as simple as, you know, have you ever ran out of milk or orange juice or something around the house? It's like, oh, man, that's just kind of an inconvenience. It's not a terrible thing. But if you have no water, that's not just an inconvenience. That can be serious, especially if you don't have any means of getting any water in a short period of time. So here's another thing to consider. We could do without water for a lot of things, whether it's cleaning, which that could get pretty serious after a while. Cooking, you know, we can do without water for that. But for drinking, water is so crucial. In fact, they say it this way. They call it the rule of three. These are like survival tips. You can last 3 seconds. 3 minutes. Let me clarify that. 3 minutes without air or oxygen, or you're going to die. But it's 3 days without water. Some maybe 6-7 days, but it's just a matter of a short number of days without water, you could die. And then 3 weeks without food. So against the rule of three. But just thinking about water, water is so crucial for us physically. Because, for instance, if you don't drink water, after a number of days, you start getting dehydrated, obviously. Then it can cause dizziness, weakness, confusion. And in some severe cases of dehydration, you can die. Your organs start shutting down. It's just, and to think about it, the major part of our body is made of water. So God made us that way, that we need to consume water as well, just to live and survive. And there's a story I want to reflect upon. Remember in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, when they made it through the Red Sea, one of their first complaints, and they started murmuring, was they were out of water. And they came to the area there of Marah, there in the Exodus, the 15th chapter. I'm not going to turn to read it, but the water was bitter. And so you think about it, they needed some fresh water, not only for their own consumption, but for their own livestock. And you're talking, and as the years progress, it's like over 1 million people out there, they had to have water. You can't go very many days, as we mentioned, that you have to have water very frequently. But remember the story where they cut the tree down, they threw it in the water, and made it, turn it from bitter to sweet, where they could drink it again. And other times where Moses struck the rock and they were given water. And other times they would encamp near water. So God always, those 40 years, God always provided water for them because it was so essential, not just to drink, but for cleaning and cooking and all those purposes. And to think of it this way, that it is of utmost importance that we have water, okay? So, I want to bring out another point here. Water is also, you just think through the civilizations of time, and consider all the large cities. Where are most of the large cities built? Near water. Take, for instance, just here in the state of Missouri, Kansas City and St. Louis, the two biggest cities, they're on the Mississippi and Missouri rivers, all right? And consider even the coastal areas, New York City on the East Coast and L.A. on the West Coast. They're right near water. It's so so useful, helpful, and essential. But I want to talk about something today that is even a bigger emergency if we run out of, and that is salvation. And without salvation, folks, it's not just an inconvenience, it's something that is deadly for our souls, okay? And it's more critical than water. We'll put it this way, we can't live one day, spiritually speaking, without salvation, okay? So I want to write the title on the board this morning. So I've written on the board, part of a scripture we'll turn and read here shortly. I've written on the board, the wells of salvation. So I want to turn and read Isaiah, the 12th chapter. And this is a short chapter. So I'm just going to read, we'll just read the whole chapter. It's only six verses. So Isaiah, the 12th chapter. Let's turn and read this. It says, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." So there's something about this passage here. This is the prophet Isaiah. This was a song or a hymn of praise that the Jews used in the Old Testament times. And this was during Isaiah's time. They were specifically praising and celebrating their deliverance from the Babylonians. And they were also looking forward to the redemption and deliverance of the Messiah. And if you notice the 11th chapter, we're not going to read it, but there's actually some prophecies in the 11th chapter talking about the stem of Jesse, the branch, and that was pointing towards Jesus, the Messiah, that he was going to come and redeem them and save them. So they didn't experience that yet, but they were anticipating that. And there were other prophets and there were other prophecies through the scriptures. So they were well aware that the Messiah would come and would redeem them and save them. So they were anticipating that. But here's another thing to consider. The wells of salvation, there was actually a deeper meaning to this. So centuries prior to this writing in Isaiah, the Jews had a ritual, or we could say a custom, that they would practice. And it didn't actually start with the law of Moses. It was sometime after that, after the time of Moses. But it became a ritual that they would do. And we'll give an example. It's something like, say, like in our services, it's not something scriptural per se, but we practice singing songs at the beginning of our service. Well, what's the purpose of that? It's not like you're a bad group of people if you don't do that. That's not the case. But it's a custom. It's kind of a ritual we do. But it's preparing our hearts to receive and be open to the Lord, all right? And so whether it's songs of praise or thanksgiving or adoration to the Lord or just singing about the truths or His promises, it gets our mind focused on the Lord, all right? And it helps us, I believe it helps bless our worship service to the Lord. So again, that's just a custom that we do, but this is a custom that's something they started practicing, and they did it for centuries. And what they would do is one of their feasts, the Feast of the Tabernacles, at the seventh day, the end of this Feast of the Tabernacles, they would go down, they would leave the temple area, and they would go down to the pool or fountain of Siloam or Shiloh, and they would take these golden pitchers and they would dip some water out of that spring and take it back up to the temple and pour it over the sacrifice on the altar. And so when they were doing this, they were also doing it, with joy. And again, they were anticipating the coming of the Messiah, though they didn't see it themselves, but they were anticipating that. And it was also, they were just looking forward to the blessings of God in general, all right? So this was something they practiced, and they would get this water and pour it on the sacrifice. And again, it was as if they were, it was an emblem of future blessings. And it was something that kept them focused on the Lord. And in other words, detaching from all the other troubles around them, this is something they could do that would focus on this water that God created, and it's a fresh spring, and they would bring it up, and with joy they would pour it on the sacrifice, and it would remind them that God is faithful to us. God will bless us. God will provide things for us. God will protect us. Ultimately, God will send us a Savior, okay? So that's where the depths of this scripture, what the prophet Isaiah is saying is, there will become a day, the day of salvation, when Jesus comes, that we're going to rejoice in that day. But in the meantime, we're still going to enjoy the salvation, the deliverances that God has given us. So that was, again, in the Old Testament, what they were experiencing. So thinking of this, today, right now, you realize we have the blessings of salvation right now that we can experience through the Holy Spirit. And it's not just, let me back up and say this. It happens when we first get saved. That's when it starts. But do you realize the joy of salvation doesn't end after that first moment when you get saved? This is something that we get to enjoy and experience every day. Okay? And that's why it's called wells of salvation. All right? So thinking of this, every day we need to have access to the wells of salvation. Any emergency that may come, we have the wells of salvation. Just like at our homes, we need water. That's something very critical. It's an emergency. We need it. We can't last very long without it, folks. It's the same with salvation. We can't last without salvation, okay? So we'll just put this down to some practical living here. Let's think about it this way. You know, there's times where in our personal lives, we feel like we just sang this song, I think, the other night in service. We've reached the end of our resources. It's like within ourselves, it's like the well is going dry. You understand what I'm saying? Like, we don't have anything else. But folks, we can tap into God's wells, all right? His wells of salvation. And here's another thing. Sometimes in life, we can feel the darkness and the oppression of this sinful world around us. And I just want to confess something here this morning. It's like been the last, I don't know, 5-10 years or so. And some of it is maybe trying to understand perhaps how things operate, like in our government and some of those things, and trying to be, you know, more aware of things that are happening, where I'm not just oblivious to things. And part of it, honestly, is conversations that guys have at work where they're interacting and talking about different things. And so I like to be informed and not just be in the dark about everything. But you realize that the more I learn and the more I understand about how the powers of this dark world function, it makes me tremble. And when I say that, I tremble for the fear of their souls. These people that are wrapped up in the traps and ensnarements of sin, and for the thousands and millions of people that have never opened a Bible, that have never made it to a worship service, that don't even understand what the Holy Spirit is. You see what I'm saying? That there's millions of souls out there. And I shudder to think, oh Lord, have mercy upon their souls. They've been blinded. They've been deprived of life that we enjoy, the wells of salvation. Folks, we are a blessed generation right now to know that we understand who God is and how He works and how He wants to help us in our everyday lives. And yet the world, they just go flying through life, so to speak, just stumbling and bumping along. They don't know what they're doing. And they don't understand how God works. They don't understand what Satan's doing, how he's destroying their life. And yet, God is saying, I have the wells of salvation to whosoever will. It's available to everyone. But I want to say again, the longer I live, the more I understand how evil and corrupt that this world can get. And I've just scratched the surface. There's things that, quite frankly, I don't even want to know, if you understand what I'm saying. But just what little I know, it's like, oh Lord, have mercy upon their souls. And oh Lord, thank you for the wells of salvation that I can tap into. Because when those people get desperate, what do? They take other people's lives. They take their own lives. They destroy themselves. They destroy everyone else around them when they're desperate. But folks, when we are desperate, what do? We go to the wells of salvation. Thank the Lord. When we are in an emergency, in a crisis, what do? We go to the Lord, folks. The wells of salvation that'll never run dry. Oh, Lord, just think about this, folks. The people out there, that their wells have run dry. Their own internal wells, and there's nothing left. And they're starving. They're dying within. And their friends and their loved ones, they're dying with them. Oh, it is such a sad estate. But to think, on the contrast, we can have the wells of salvation. And I want to point back to the prophet Isaiah here. Do you realize that was the only nation for thousands of years that God put His blessing upon? Think about that. A chosen generation. And to think that the rest of the world, now there were a few. Remember Rahab at Jericho? She was a heathen, but God redeemed her. God saved her, pulled her out of that, and saved her life. And there were other Gentiles throughout the scriptures that God would pluck them out and save them. And I look at it this way. It was a type and shadow of what He could do to anyone that knew hardly anything about God, but they would see God work, and they're like, oh, I want that. And just like Rahab, she wanted that, and God gave her that. Gave her the wells of salvation for her own personal life. And her lineage became of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? How God can work in lives that are steeped in sin, and it looks like there's no hope, and their well is run dry, and God plucks them out. Because, folks, she was living a wicked lifestyle herself. But God redeemed her and saved her and gave her the wells of salvation through His people, all right? Because His hedge of protection was around the children of Israel. So, now, to think about this, you know, there's some other things in life that we can experience. I mentioned earlier about trembling. Sometimes we tremble for fear of thinking about things that might happen. Hasn't happened yet, but sometimes Satan would love to cast the spell of fear upon us and consume us. We're worrying and fretting about things in the future, things we don't have any control over, and we're fearful of those things. But I want to remind you of the scriptures the Lord gave me about 5 years ago. It was the beginning of COVID, and I've shared this many times before. And I heard other people testify they received the same scripture. But it's a scripture that says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Of power and of love and a sound mind comes out of the wells of salvation, folks. It comes directly from the throne of God, okay? But the spirit of fear isn't from God. But yet the devil would love to consume us with those things. So we tremble at those things and we shudder at those things. And it limits us and it constricts us where God can't work in us and use us as he would have it, as he would desire to. But folks, I want to say again, there's something about tapping into those wells of salvation. And I want to share just some more little personal experiences I've noticed recently. You know, there's other things that can help us tap into the wells of salvation, and that is nature. You know, you see this little daffodil right here? Someone put that up here this morning. It's fresh. Probably just plucked this morning. What was the weather like 3 weeks ago? It was pretty extreme, wasn't it? Frozen tundra with snow and ice. Not pleasurable at all. And to think that something would be blooming just 3 weeks later, and here we are, a little daffodil. And no doubt there's many more out there. And just the other day, out walking, and came across some tiny little purple flowers that were all over this little yard. And here's a little picture of them. Now, I have it zoomed up. It's just light purple with a little yellow, whatever you call it, in the middle of it there. And a crocus. Okay, thank you. But just a beautiful little flowers popped up. And to think 3 weeks ago, these beautiful little crocuses, little purple flowers, weren't anywhere to be seen. But right underneath the surface, they were waiting. And just to think, folks, that when we can focus on God's marvelous creation, Brother Ronald touched on that even with our human bodies, how God made us. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. It's just marvelous, the masterpiece that God made. Our human bodies, the natural creation of the flowers, and you're starting to see a little bit of grass greening up now, and we're starting to hear, we're seeing more of the little robins flying around, and the birds, and they're fixing to build nests, but it's just every year, this cycle, and to think about God's power and his ability to create something new, something fresh. And where does that come from? Think about this, folks. These things wouldn't take place if it wasn't for water. Think about that. That's a root common theme of all these things. It needs, just like human bodies need water. The flowers need water. The grass needs water. The birds need water. All these things, they need the water. It is no different than you and I. We need the water of salvation, the wells of salvation. That's what's going to keep us alive. And then the little tips or the tricks I want to share with you this morning, and no doubt you all are already practicing this, so I feel like I'm preaching to the choir again, so to speak. But just to remind us that we can daily take a dip in these wells of salvation. And when I say take a dip in these wells of salvation, to remind ourselves to look at God's creation, these beautiful little flowers, little daffodils, all of his creation, to remind us, oh, God is still in control. Everything's going to be okay. He's creating everything new and powerful again. Folks, he can do that in our inner beings, in our own souls, in our own minds. He can renew things that were once cold and frozen and covered up and dark. And God can make that new and fresh and blossoming and beautiful again. Oh, thank the Lord. But yet the darkness of sin is all around us. Yes, it is. Oh, what did Jesus say to his disciples? I pray that you wouldn't, praying to his Father, that you wouldn't take them out of the world, but you would keep them from the world. And how can that happen? It's through us dipping in and tapping into the wells of salvation. Thank the Lord. Well, I want to read some scriptures here. In Psalms 121, familiar set of scriptures. But again, this just reemphasizes what I was saying here. In Psalms 121, he It's a short chapter. I'll just go ahead and read all of this as well. Psalms 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Thank the Lord. This is just a reminder again of where does our help come from? Does it come from ourselves? Does it come from our fellow man? Does it come from the things we can do or accomplish and that we can masterfully invent and conspire all these different ideas and cunning craftiness and all these things? No. Our help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. So there's so much, we can see a lot of the heavens. We see the stars and the galaxies and the sun and the moon and the planets and all, and those are amazing and beautiful. Who made those? I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And then we consider the things on this earth. I already mentioned little daffodils and the crocuses and all the other beautiful flowers and the birds and the animals and all those things. And we marvel at those things. Folks, I want us to get a hold of something here this morning. Because the world, through Satan, will try to tell you a different story. That these things just happened. You know, whether it's the Big Bang Theory or whether it's evolution and all these other things. And what they're trying to do is to exclude God out of the equation. When the reality is, God is the equation. He's everything. He's the one that created everything. That's how we live and move. And we start understanding and comprehending that. That God is at the root of all of this. That everything we have comes from Him. And we get a hold of that truth, that basic biblical doctrine. Then that's when we can start dipping into these wells of salvation to realize these truths, these promises, this understanding of how God works and what God is doing, that's what's going to sustain us. That's what's going to keep us, as these scriptures were saying, He will keep us forevermore. Just like water, we have to drink water every day. That's going to keep us, okay? It's going to hydrate us. God made us that way. You realize we have a void within our souls that is made just for God to dwell in there. We were made for God to do. Just like Adam and Eve in the very beginning in the garden, they were made, they walked and talked with God in the cool of the day. There was perfect communion there. And what hindered that? Sin is what hindered that. But folks, we were made to commune with God, to walk and talk with God. How do we get there? It's through the wells of salvation. It's through the Messiah that the prophet Isaiah was prophesying about. He was pointing towards that day that we could enjoy the wells of salvation every single day through the Holy Spirit. Thank the Lord. So, thinking of all of these things, you realize it's up to us to be looking for and seeking the Lord every day to find Him. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. Now, granted, when we have children, we teach them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. We teach them the scriptures. We teach them wholesome songs. We teach them by living salvation, dipping in the wells of salvation ourselves, that our children will see that and realize that that's what's sustaining us. The children get a hold of that. Then they start dipping into the wells of salvation, and that sustains them. And guess what? Then their children and their children's children, oh, thank the Lord. That's why we're here today. You realize that? Because there are those before us that have gone on before us where they've dipped into the wells of salvation, and it redeemed them. It saved them. It sustained them. It encouraged them. It inspired them to take the next step, to get up another day and say, oh Lord, I need you again today. I will lift up mine eyes unto the Lord. Folks, it's a daily experience, all right? Not just once a week, not once a month, not once a year. It's a daily experience, dipping into the wells of salvation. And folks, it'll meet our needs. It'll quench our thirst. It will refresh us. It will encourage us. It will comfort us. It'll give clarity. It'll give direction. It'll cast out those fears and those doubts. It's amazing how the wells of salvation work. And think about this, just in the general sense. Notice it's the wells of salvation. It's plural. And I want to go and just touch briefly on this. There were different times, again, back in Exodus, about the children of Israel wandering around the wilderness there. There were different times where it wasn't just one well that could sustain them. It was multiple wells because it was millions of people, all right? And to think about this, there's an unlimited number of wells of salvation. We don't know how many it is, but folks, it is adequate. It is enough to supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory, the Scripture says. Thank the Lord. It's more than enough for you and I to go around. And it's something, the Scripture talks about it being bubbling over. That it's overflowing. Where the water, there's excess. It's running off and running over. And my cup runneth over, the Scripture says. Where others can be blessed by the same wells of salvation. When we're tapping into them, folks, others around us, they get to enjoy the benefits of us tapping into wells of salvation. And then someone else gets a hold of it. We just shared that earlier. It travels exponentially throughout the world. And that's God's plan of salvation. Did it not just stop with you and I and that's it? No. But it says we continue to tap into these wells of salvation. It sustains us day in and day out. Day in and for the rest of our lives. Thank the Lord. And there's another Scripture I want to remind us of, talking about the abundance. The Scripture says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think." Oh, how many times have we needed to tap into that? Because sometimes, folks, quite frankly, we limit ourselves. And we limit God. Because we think that's really not possible. Or we think that's too hard. Or we think there's no way. We're just like, oh, no. Oh, folks, when we start reading these Scriptures and reading these stories, and we start exercising our praise and adoration to the Lord, and we lift up our eyes and we focus on the Lord, and we look at His beautiful creation around us, and we consider all the things He's done for us, once we start tapping into those wells of salvation, and we realize it's the Lord that's sustaining us. It's the Lord that's going to give us the strength. It's the Lord that's going to preserve us, all right? And I want to conclude with this morning. You know, just like we can't live without water, H2O, neither can we live without the blessings of the wells of salvation. And I have a little personal challenge for all of us this morning. Not just for today, but I want you to practice this as long as you care to. Every time you take a drink of water, which I'm going to do here, every time you take a drink of water, think of the wells of salvation. Think where that water came from. Did you create that water? Did I create this water? No. God did. And folks, that water is free. Unless you buy it in bottles at the store. But you understand the point. The water is free. Folks, it's just like the wells of salvation. Folks, it is free for the taking. All we have to do is look to the Lord, put in for it, and yes, that first time we get saved, that is great and wonderful, the most wonderful thing that could happen to us. But beyond that first experience, it's a daily walk with the Lord that we need to daily tap into the wells of salvation. That's what's going to sustain us. Just like this water, we have to have water every day to live. So is the wells of salvation. We have to have the wells of salvation every day. Us personally and intentionally tapping into, looking for God in everyday life, seeking Him, asking Him, and all these things where, again, not to be distracted by everything else that's going off in the world, because they want to ignore God. They don't want to be accountable to God. They don't want to consider that there's a higher being, one that's in control and in authority and can cast judgment if we don't please it. They don't want to consider that. But, oh, folks, it's not just the judging side. It's let's consider also the loving side, the mercies. The scripture says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. They are new every morning. Oh, thank the Lord. And that is one of the most powerful things we can do when tapping into the wells of salvation is we come before the Lord. As we read in the Isaiah, the 12th chapter, that was a song of praise that they would sing, that they would chant as they're going down to get these pitchers of water and bring them back up to the sacrifice. They were chanting that little song. It was a song of praise. You realize that is such a powerful way to tap into the wells of salvation. And with joy, they tap into the wells of salvation. That's with praise every day, praise and adoration. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. You're expecting those exceeding great things that he can do for us each and every day. I am so thankful we can enjoy, all of us enjoy, the wells of salvation. You pray for me, I'd be faithful to him. Amen.